Today's feast has no fewer than four different names. Each name recalls a different aspect of this feast. It puts a different light on it. So what are they? First, today's feast is called the presentation of Christ in the temple, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And the law in question is Exodus chapter 13, where Yahweh says, "Sanctify to me all of the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of animal." So, "It is mine," says the Lord. So this is in commemoration of the Passover, where firstborn Jewish males were spared death. So this feast is yet more proof that the Son of God truly became man. And this is the reason in our collect it says, "Whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in substance of our flesh." And in our second reading, the writer to the book of Hebrews says, "Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect." So, today, an infant, not a spirit or an angel, is brought to the temple. This meeting between the righteous Simeon, Anna, and the Savior is why this feast has another name, very common name, the meeting of the Lord. According to the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 12, after a woman gives birth to a son, she is impure for 40 days. So at the end of that period, she is to bring an offering to the temple, which the priest offers as a sacrifice, affecting her purification. Mary and Joseph take him to the temple in Jerusalem, so 40 days after his birth, exactly 40 days after Christmas, we are celebrating this feast. So he is redeemed to the Lord as the firstborn male child. His family is too poor to afford a lamb for the sacrifice, so they offer two turtle doves or pigeons. So this was to give thanks to God and pray for the purification of the mother and the health of the child. So this is why this feast has yet another name, the purification of the virgin. The presentation, the meeting, and the purification are then all names given to today's feast. But there is yet a fourth name, Candlemas. So this name was given to this feast in memory of the Roman custom of lighting candles at it, which recalls the light in the temple at Jerusalem and represent Christ as the light of the world. The custom spread from Rome even to the western parts of Russia. So the presentation of Jesus in the temple is unique, as it is marked by the strange witness of two old people in the temple: Simeon the prophet and Anna the prophetess. They surely were aware of prophet Malachi's prophecy: "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Simeon and Anna were mature, older, faithful believers, nearer to the end of life than its beginning. Clearly, they had hard lives. Luke tells us that Anna had lost her husband many years before. Yet for all the difficulties of life, they were both extremely close to God, praying in the temple daily and waiting patiently for the one who had been promised, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. When I think of Simeon and Anna, faithfully living out their religious vocation in the temple, year in and year out. This verse from Psalm 27 springs to mind. There is one thing I ask of the Lord. For this I long, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to savor the sweetness of the Lord, to behold His temple. These two extraordinary figures were richly rewarded for their fidelity, for their faithfulness. Simeon and Anna savored the sweetness of the Lord as they beheld the living temple, which is Christ Jesus. They saw the wonderful new beginning which God had long been preparing in Israel. The dawn of a new covenant was breaking. So when Simeon took Christ's child in his arms, he was actually leaving the Old Testament and giving us the New Testament, the New Covenant. The Messiah would, and that the Messiah would bring light not only to the chosen people Israel, but even to all the nations. The joy and peace of God, which had been announced at Christmas, was now confirmed by Simeon to be a gift to every human being, regardless of origin or ability. In our own particular way of life, we can all behold Christ and love Christ. That day in the temple, Simeon saw more than what physical eyes could perceive. Physical sight would see Jesus, a 40-day-old baby, like any other baby. But that's not what Simeon says he saw. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." What do we see when we look at Christ Jesus today? Do we see another good moral teacher? Or a godly man? Or we look at Jesus as our Lord and Savior? What does Simeon see? Well, he says he's seen God's salvation, which incidentally is undoubtedly a bit of wordplay on the Hebrew root of the name Jesus or Yeshua, which means the Lord is my salvation. We are also told that he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is the code for the Messiah, the deliverer who was originally promised in the book of Isaiah to the Jewish exiles in Babylon. And when he sees this baby, somehow he knows that the consolation of Israel has come. Jesus was born into a troubled world. His people were oppressed in their own land by the occupying Roman forces. They longed for the coming of the promised Messiah, God's chosen and anointed one who will bring freedom, peace, and justice to the people of Israel. So it wasn't a safe place for a child to grow up in. And there is Simeon, a personality whose spirit seems to rise up out of the story to speak to us today. His spirit seems to speak to us from the pages of the Bible. He was a righteous and devout man like many other Israelites. He longs for an end of the suffering of his people. And his longing resonates with us today as we see the suffering and injustice all around us today. But Simeon holds on in faith to a promise made to him by God. Simeon will not die until he has seen the one who is God's Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. We too hang on in faith to the promise made to us by God in Jesus. The promise that we are God's children through faith. The promise that God is always with us because he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you to the ends of the earth." The promise that death does not have the final say. The promise that even out of the darkness and most painful of circumstances, God will bring healing, light, and new life. Simeon saw with faith, not by what Jesus looked like. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith, I love this verse from Faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is being sure of that which we do not see. So we can see the salvation of God in Jesus through the eyes of faith. God calls us to have our eyes of faith opened. The feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple brings the celebrations of Christmas and Epiphany to a close for us who worship and follow Christ today. It is a tipping point. We begin to turn from the joy of Christmas to the wilderness journey of Lent and the horror of the cross. From the wonder of the incarnation to the agony of the passion. We move from the cradle to the cross. Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph, but also warns them of the shadowy side of this glory and salvation. Today's feast is tinged with sadness too. What Simeon saw was a long way off, but it was there so plainly. He couldn't pretend. Simeon hails the Christ child as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, yet his prophecy ends on a stark note. As he tells the Blessed Virgin Mary that Jesus is a sign that will be opposed and that a sword will pierce her soul. Simeon's prophecy echoes that of Prophet Malachi, who declares that the Lord will come to his temple like a refiner's fire. The mission of Christ will only be achieved through great suffering and division. And his mother Mary would not escape these sorrows, which would take her to the very foot of the cross after 33 years. At the cross, the spear that pierced Jesus' side surely will not be as painful as the sword that pierced Mary's heart. What could be more painful than a mother seeing her own son executed as a common criminal? Dear friends, as Jesus is presented in the temple, he is presented to us, his body, the church. Jesus brings rain to peace on earth, goodwill to all. And while we can affirm that the coming of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, it is good news of great joy for all people, this does not mean that Christ's presence demands nothing of us or leaves us unchanged. Like a refiner's fire and cleansing soap, the arrival of Christ in our midst calls us to reverent obedience and faithful praise. The good news is indeed that we will not be left unchanged, but will be reformed, transformed, and refined to become Christ-like. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.